Sometimes Forex trading can be a wild and woolly place to be. But Forex trading doesn't have to be the Badlands for you, partner. Instead, hunker down and bend your ear. You'll be burning the breeze in no time here at the Truth About FX Podcast.
Welcome, it's Walter here, and today we have Nicola, a private trader and economist, who, if you've seen some of our webinars, you know that she had a very popular webinar on her trading system and the psychology behind her trading. She's going to talk a bit today about trading psychology and how that impacts your results, how that can change your approach to your trading, and how that can completely change other areas of your life as well. She's going to talk about this at the conference, so welcome, Nicola.
Thank you very much, Walter. I started when I was at university. I wasn't trading Forex. I was trading stocks and shares. I got into a trading club with a couple of other students, economic students, and we used the money that we earned to help pay for our uni fees and things like that. So that was my first exposure to trading, but I was never really... It never felt quite right, and I kind of drifted away from it. And then later in life, after I'd left uni, I got into trading options. And again, it never really quite felt right. I was good at it, but I just wasn't comfortable with it for a long term thing. And I drifted away again. And then I became a mother, and I just was reading about Forex, and I thought, let's try Forex. And once I discovered the world of Forex, I realized it's what I'd been looking for the whole time, because I was always much more interested in macroeconomics and sort of the bigger picture. And with stocks and shares, for example, it's just all about the actual company, and that's less interesting to me than how the whole world works. And currencies are perfect for that. So there you go.
Wow. So that's interesting. So for you, a lot of it is the big picture. You enjoy understanding the market that you're trading, and is that
very much so? And I love the fact that there's so many unknowns. It's one of the reasons why I like the price action trading, because it does give you something that you can depend on. Because if you are trying to consider all the big issues at hand between currencies, I mean, I don't think anybody can actually know. There's so many unknowns, but I find it fascinating at the same time. And it is all in my head. I must confess that I do spend a lot of time reading newspapers and other articles about what's going on with the currency markets, as opposed from just watching the charts. But yeah, I just find it all fascinating, really. I love it. It's like another language. I find looking at the candles almost kind of musical. You know, when you really get to know them and they become second nature to you, there's a beauty to them, which I also quite like. So I love trading on many different levels. Emotional, I guess.
And does it ever frustrate you?
Yes. Most of the time. I find, but my frustrations are more with myself, with my own limitations. I am a bit of a perfectionist in it, which isn't necessarily a good thing. And I do strive to, it's very important to me that my psychology is right. And obviously nobody's psychology is the same on any single day and any single moment, and different things happen to us in life that you can't predict. And those kind of things, interesting and exciting, but also sometimes frustrating, particularly if you've set aside some time and you're thinking, right, I'm going to really focus on this today, and you get completely thrown off course. And yeah, that's frustrating. But sometimes all the waiting, if I'm in the mood for trading, but actually I should just be sitting waiting for the candle to close, that can be frustrating too. But again, that's a frustration in myself. It's not a frustration with the actual.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's funny how it forces you to confront your issues more so than other ventures. I know, like, from personal experience, I can say that when you sit down in a normal job, if you were to sit down and your boss tells you how you're doing, a lot of the things that your boss says may or may not be true, but and said for other reasons. But when it comes to trading, you can certainly just look at your account and say,
I agree. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about it. There's a real raw honesty there. You cannot escape yourself when you're trading. Your account balance is how you are as a trader, and you cannot escape that reality. It's one of the traps, I think, of positive thinking. I mean, I'm a great believer in positive thinking, but one of the things you have to be careful of it is that it can sometimes be used to avoid looking at your weaknesses. You know, if you just refuse to acknowledge that you're not good at something and just focus on things that you want to be good at, you can sometimes cause more problems for yourself because you're not bringing the whole of you along, as it were. You're not lifting up, you're not improving your weaknesses. And that's one of the things that trading really does. You cannot escape your weaknesses. You have to face them. You have to bring the whole of you along, not just the good bits. You know, it's I find it a process that is quite empowering because you really start to get to know yourself much better, for good or bad. But it's you're constantly growing, I think, when you're a trader. Constantly developing, even if your system's the same as it was 20 years ago, you will not be the same person 20 years on, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So that's interesting what you were talking about the positive thinking. Do you think, is there a common mistake that traders make when trying to use positive thinking or things similar to positive thinking? Because I think I understand what you're saying, but I guess in more concrete terms for the listener, is there something that you would say, I'd watch out for that?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, one of the things I was actually thinking about is that some of the people listening to this, if they ever find themselves thinking along one of three lines, which I'm going to just come out with now, then they should be having warning bells in their head. For example, whether they think a good day is a winning day. That is not necessarily meaning that you're a good trader. It's about trading in the right way, managing your risk and taking your time with your decisions, not over trading. You know, there's a whole multitude of things.
So my understanding is that a lot of people, when they're trying to apply positive thinking, they basically want to focus in on what they want. They want to focus in on their goal, and they sort of almost act like their goal is right there before them. And it sounds like to me what you're saying is, if you do that, you're kind of papering over or spreading some peanut butter over your real faults that's not going to really change the fact that they're going to rear their head up and they're going to affect you as a trader.
Yeah, exactly. When you're focusing on your goals like this, for one thing, they need to be achievable, because if you're thinking you're going to become a billionaire overnight, then you're not going to believe in that goal deep down. You're not going to, that at some inner level, a part of you is going to be saying to yourself, that's not achievable. And you're already undermining your own thought process. Positive thinking is really important, and don't get me wrong about that, but I think you have to manage it in a way that makes you move forward in life rather than actually just demoralizing you and causing you more stress because you're not achieving your goals. It's also, a lot of people, they come up with positive thoughts but don't realize or emotionally accept that they're going to be needing to change. In order to become that person that you think you want to be involves fundamental change on many levels, and those kind of changes are not necessarily easy. It's not just changing the day-to-day things you do, but it's changing your psychology, it's changing your habits, and that can be quite challenging for some people, and again, can be demoralizing if they feel that they can't make those changes. And that's one of the things I want to talk about at the conference is to actually give people a lot of practical tips on ways that they can not only manage the change that they want to bring into their lives, but also how to deal with the stress and distress they might feel at times with trading, like if they've busted up their account in the past or if they have some kind of anxiety when they're trading. I mean, there's so many different ways you can get stressed out trading. I mean, it's a stressful process, but there are lots of really useful things that I feel I can help people with to just make their life easier with that kind of stuff. It's about coaching yourself in a way. Not everybody instinctively knows how to do that in the most healthy way for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So are you trying to tell me that it's not all about the trading system?
No, it's most definitely not. I would very much say that winning in the short term is easy, and any system will get you short-term wins. But if you want to be a long-term trader who wins over the long term, it's definitely much more, for me, I believe, it's much more about the money management strategy that you employ and the head game that you play. And I mean, I would say psychology is 90% of that. It's so important. And a lot of new traders don't even acknowledge that it's important, but it's key. And I think most long-term traders would agree with that. It's if you've got your head in the wrong place, you're just going to take bad, poorly chosen trades and bust up your account.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like the golfer who knows how to do everything. The golfer knows how to drive the ball far. He knows how to putt and do all these great things. But when it comes down to, you know, the tournament, if he's not able to execute, it really doesn't matter what he knows how to do. He still has to do it. And I think that for a lot of traders, we get away from that. We get away from the focus should be on, as you say, it should be on the execution, I think, is what I'm hearing you say. It's not really about whether you won today, whether you made money or lost money. It's not really about finding the whiz-bang system that's going to make you a bajillionaire next Wednesday. It's really more about discovering your faults, figuring out a plan so that, you know, you, the unique trader that you are, is able to extract profits and to do it in a way that makes sense to you. It's about defending your account. It's not really about finding the magic system or these things that we think. When we first come in, we all think the same things. And it's only after a while that we discover that it's a lot deeper than that, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I don't know if many of your listeners know of Stoic philosophy, but there's basically one way of looking at the world is basically to very simply say that there are two things. There's things that happen to you and things that you are in control of. And obviously the markets are something you have no control of. So, you know, as traders, we need to just focus on the things that we do have control of and ourselves and our psychology and the way we choose to trade is something that we can alter. You can't change whether or not the pound is going to rise today or fall tomorrow, but you can trade, you can control the way you trade, and it's not something that you will master overnight. It's a journey. It's like everything with life, it's a journey, but it is something that people can learn a lot from your website. The things that you talk about all the time are so fundamentally important, and I feel like a lot of people really need to have that message reinforced. It's the psychology is everything.
For the listeners that don't know, Nicola, your webinar was one of the most popular ones that we've had, and a lot of people have actually picked up on your trading system in the forum. And one of the things that I think is interesting about we were talking about this earlier is that your webinar was so much of your webinar was on the psychology. And yet people are fascinated by your system, the way that you trade, which again kind of gets back to the point. I mean, look, you could look at it another way and say the people that are following your trading and posting their trades and trade as you do or similar to the way that you do, they're just drawn to that sort of style. And it's not that critical, but that's just something that resonates with them. But I guess my point is that you had a lot to offer in your webinar because you told us how you explained, it was a story, how you went through this process of transformation as a trader and how you, you know, the highs and the lows and everything. It was really kind of fascinating.
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, it's a journey. And I think most successful traders have had some real low times in their trading journey. And it's not the fact that you've had a bad day or a bad week or a bad month does not mean you're going to be a bad trader. And that's one of the messages that I want to get across to people is that you can achieve your dreams. You can, for sure. And just the fact that you haven't so far, maybe you've made lots of mistakes so far, it doesn't determine your future. That's why I'm saying it's a head game. You have to be in it for the long term. You have to connect with your kind of inner fire, as it were, and start making small but practical steps to reduce the bad things that you've been doing and to help bring yourself to where you want to be. I mean, I think my webinar was popular as well because I think people got a sense that, yeah, it is possible. And it isn't just pipe dreams. We hear, I mean, I have had so many people in the past just be so negative about, oh, that's not possible. That's not achievable. I don't believe you can even do that. And it's like, no, you make your own reality. And, you know, I will help show you why and how, you know, I'm happy to pass on anything that I've learnt. And I get a lot of fulfillment from knowing that I've helped someone get one step closer to their dream. So that's why I'm coming to this conference.
Why do you think a lot of traders out there have difficulties reaching their dreams? What is it that's holding them back?
I think we limit ourselves by the expectations of our family, by the expectations of our upbringing, by the expectations of the world in which we are living. The social class that you're from. I think, gosh, there are so many things that we limit ourselves to what we have been, how we have been raised to think is realistic for ourselves. I see this a lot with people who've had poor backgrounds being told all the time that they're not good enough. You start to believe these things, even if you're telling yourself, oh, I don't believe that, that's a load of nonsense. At some other level, you take it in. It becomes a part of your identity. And that's why I'm saying about how fundamentally important it is for us to recognize how hard it is for people to change. Because you're not just changing your habits, you're changing your sense of self. And that can lead some people to feel a sense of crisis because it's fundamentally threatening in a way, because if you're not that person that you thought you were, then who are you? How do you find that person that's willing to break those glass ceilings and to break yourself free of negativity that's held you back for so many years? It's hard. And once again, it's not something that happens overnight, but it is achievable. And there are lots of really easy things that you can do to in your daily life that will help you to start forging a way through that.
That's excellent. I'm looking forward to that. And I share your views on these limitations. I think that it's one of the things I think about a lot, in fact. And in fact, I hate to admit it, but I probably have swung the other way. Like, so I'm really concerned about these limitations. And, you know, as a parent, I'm thinking about these things and how can I set it up so that my children don't have, you know, these limitations that society and teachers and everyone places on them. So I have to admit, I think I may have created a monster because my little boy will say things. He'll say things like, you know, mommy will tell him something, and then he'll say, "Well, Daddy said, I can do whatever I want to. And of course, I mean to say, yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you put your mind to. And, you know, you can literally do whatever you want, but you have to live with the consequences, right? You know, but of course, he takes this just pure literal 3-year-old, you know, like, Daddy says I can do whatever I want to, you know? And so these are the sorts of things. But I think, you know, the way I look at it is, we all get these things from a young age, there's no escaping it. And even if I tell him this one thing, I can guarantee you a year from now, he'll have had so many teachers and authority figures tell him that he can't do this and he can't do that. You know, he's slowly sort of boxing him in, isn't it? I mean, I think that you're right. I think that's kind of the ceilings and those thoughts kind of box us in as traders and keep us in a certain comfortable area.
I think that's right. One other thing that just struck me is that some people also say, well, but it's just the way I am. This is the way I am. I can't change the way I am. But that's to a certain degree, it's true, because you can't really change your personality. I mean, I remember very vividly when my daughter was born, seeing her personality and realizing that she was too young for that to have been caused by me. She was the way she was because that is who she is. But so you can't change your personality, but you can change how it's expressed. And that's really what I think you're also alluding to. Your son has grasped some of the message, but not all of it. It's learning how to manage ourselves in the healthiest way possible that's going to bring us the greatest benefit, not just in our trading, but also in the rest of our lives. I mean, it's one of the wonderful things that I've found is the more I've changed my psychology, which was motivated by wanting to become a better trader, the more other things in my life have improved as well. It's kind of like a trickle-down effect, as an economist would say. But, you know, it's amazing how when you change the foundation stone, how the rest of the structure that you build on top of that will alter. And getting back down into your deep, deep psychology is not easy, but you can do it. And I would say it's the most important thing any new trader should be doing, more important than finding a new system. Because most systems, the vast majority of systems, will bring you profit. If you trade the right way, you can pick any system almost, and it will work for you. Not every single system, but quite a lot of them. But you need to be employing healthy trading strategy, healthy trading plan. You know, that will serve you well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I often wonder. I believe the reverse is true too. As you say, when you work on yourself with an eye on your trading, that can improve other areas of your life. And I found that to be true. But also, I wonder if people who let themselves go in certain areas, I think that trickles into their trading as well. So, for example, you're a really good trader. You're going really well. You've been going well for the last 3 years. And then 1 year, for whatever reason, you're kind of off your game, maybe, you know, emotionally or physically. Something is a little bit off. And then that ends up being the reason why you don't necessarily perform that year as a trader. And I think that's also the case often.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and particularly big life events like grieving the loss of a loved one or a marriage breakup, those kind of things can really destabilize you. And even though on the surface you think you're fine, at another level you're not. You know, you're dealing with some big stuff. And that's why it's so important to become more aware of where you are, of your own psychology, of whether or not you are in the best place for trading that year. Maybe actually the best thing you could do for your trading account that year is to put it on pause and go and do something else for a year. You know, there's no shame in not trading. It's far worse to trade and be losing trade after trade after trade than it is to just say, hang on, I'm going to shut my account down and come back in 2 months' time. You know, it's learning to recognize when that's the appropriate action. There's a lot to be said for inaction in trading, I think, and it's very easy for traders to overtrade, thinking that the more they trade, the better trader they will be, the more successful they will be. And actually, it's often the inverse. If you trade less, you'll often have a healthier bank trading account.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard a story once about the mountain lion or the cougar in the Americas, and the lion in the African savannah, and how they differ. And it reminded me of trading, where it was, they said that the lions, they hunt in packs, right? And they'll attack the weak link on a herd or something like that. You know, that's basically what they do. They hunt in packs, and it's teamwork, you know, and they chase them down and whatever. The cougar in North America, if you were to see a cougar and it was hunting, you might think it was actually sleeping, because it might be just lying down on a rock, just kind of just having a look and watching, you know, a rabbit or whatever, you know, is out, a deer or something. And once in a while, something will come up on its path, and that's when it pounces. And if you took a cougar and dropped it off in Africa, or you took a lion and dropped it off in, you know, Montana, they wouldn't survive in those different environments, because they're set up for that. And I think when I think of trading, I think of the cougar. I think of, to me, learning to understand that a lot of what you do as a trader is you just sit there and you wait. And it might look like you're sleeping, it might look like you're not doing anything, but really what you're doing is you're waiting for that food to appear so that you can pounce. And especially if you've been, you know, if you've been in a job for a long time, and to you working is sitting down and doing something, it can be really, it can really shake you when you decide to become a trader, because you feel like, well, I'm not making any money now, I'm not taking any trades now, I'm not doing anything now, I need to do something. And I find that can be counterproductive.
It's like when people start meditating for the first time, and their brain's just going crazy, and they just can't seem to focus their mind on any one thing. We are so used in our society, we're so used to being busy all the time, having stimulation all the time. And trading is very hard like that, because it can be really intense and then nothing. And trying to keep your emotions calm when you've gone from a period of intense stress to nothing for, you know, is hard. But it's part of, again, it's part of the head game. You have to learn how to manage that in a way that's not going to cause you to make poor trading choices. It's learning, in a way, it's about learning not being invisible to yourself. I think a lot of people are so used to not paying attention to their thoughts, not paying attention to their feelings. They get stuck in a routine, which is just a killer. They live every day like they've always lived every day, and they don't bring new things into their life. They don't shake it up a bit. And when you become invisible to yourself, you feel that things happen to you, and you don't realize the role that you've had to play in that situation happening. I've seen this. You often see it in romantic relationships. That's the easiest way to think of it. But where somebody, like, their partner will come and start screaming at them for something. They're like, hey, where did that come from? She's just gone psycho on me for some reason. And you think, well, hang on, if you'd done this, this and this, that wouldn't have happened. But they were so not aware of their own actions, their own behavior, that to them it seemed like a random occurrence. And I think the same happens in trading, that you can get so into the habit of doing things a certain way and not realize that you're actually not thinking in a healthy way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's almost as if, you know, the frog in the pot of water or whatever, you don't realize that the temperature is being turned up until it's too late.
And the other thing I'd say to all this is, in my original webinar that I did, I talked quite a lot about emotion and how I didn't think I was stereotypical trader, at least not the sort of person that I always thought a trader should be, because I'm quite an emotional, sensitive person. It's a subject which has taken up quite a lot of my time trying to understand it, because one of the some of the latest research shows that actually, in order to bring about any serious change in your life, you have to have an emotion behind the motivation for that change. To just tell yourself, I'm going to be a successful trader, is not going to get you there. You have to have an emotional connection to that desire for change. And I think there's a certain category of trader that is not used to acknowledging emotions, and they can sometimes feel very uncomfortable about the whole idea, maybe because they've been raised believing emotions are girly, for example. But one of the things I want to try and help people realize at the conference is that all emotion is useful, even the negative ones. Even when you're sitting there thinking that you've performed really badly and you're feeling despair, it's learning to turn that around, to change your perspective on the situation, learning to improve the relationship that you have with yourself as much as with life and with trading. But it's all interconnected, all of this, and I think it's a fascinating subject, and one that requires a lot more thought and consideration than most people give it.
Do you think that many of the classic trading mistakes are basically due to not really understanding the emotions that you're experiencing or something like that?
I was saying to you before we started recording that sometimes I feel a bit like the naked trader agony aunt. I get a lot of emails from people who telling me about the things that they're doing wrong in their trading, and I'd say 9 out of 10 of them are due to impatience, which is an emotion, or fear, an emotion, or greed, an emotion. You know, it's so tied up in our trading choices. It's I cannot stress how important it is. It's fundamental.
Yeah. So the question, you know, obviously you're going to share with us your techniques that you use, and that you're going to you know, suggest that we, if they resonate with us, we can use them as well at the conference. But I wonder if, you know, looking back in your own trading, have you noticed when your trading wasn't going so well, can you kind of look back now and pinpoint and go, okay, now I see where I went wrong there was, you know, I was doing X or Y or what have you.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it's usually comes down to my emotional state. I think it's learning to manage stress so that it doesn't turn into distress. And often when I've made poor choices, it's because I haven't recognized that I was in a place of stress and not dealing with that stress appropriately. For example, impatience. If I'm feeling, oh my God, I've just lost X number of pips and now I need to get back into a trade and start and do another trade, that's me not handling the stress of the losing trade very well. That's me not having processed the emotional impact of that previous losing trade. I'm still, in a way, my head is still stuck in the past. It's not here in the present thinking, hang on, is this really the best trade? Should I really be revenge trading, as it were? You know, it's situations like that that you really, the more you become aware of, the more you can feel more in control of the situation once you're aware of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I feel like it's almost like you're an observer of yourself, like, you know, almost like you see yourself from another perspective or something like that.
Yes, but it's not just observing, because if all you do is observe, you don't change. And one of the things I want to help people with at the conference is learning to, I want to give people the tools that they need, not only to triple their account, not only to make it the size that they want it to be, but also to help them at the times when the world's going against them, when they've dug themselves a great big hole. How the hell do they get themselves out of it? And that's what I want to help people with. I want to explain exactly what they need to do so that they're not just observing themselves in this pit, but they know the way to really get themselves out of it and back to the position that they want to be in.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that sounds great. Because I remember in your story, you were talking about how that was, you made reference to tripling your account. So that was when you started trading Forex, when you started trading currencies, you did something like you made some money, then you lost it all, right? And back to the original balance. And then you tripled it shortly after or something like that. Is that right?
I mean, I think it's a bit like learning to drive a car. You know, initially you press your foot on the pedal too much, or you press your foot on the brake too much. You know, it's learning the balance. It's learning how to operate all the different tools in your. I'm not quite sure how to express that, but at the beginning of learning Forex, I didn't get the balance right, and I did bust up my account. And I learned so much from it. And that's actually something that I've observed in life many times. It's usually at the times when things have all gone terribly against me that you learn your most important lessons. And for me, those lessons were the importance of risk management, of getting, of managing my money appropriately, and the head game. And in fact, I shouldn't have the head game at the end. It should be the first thing I put there, because it's all about how you control your psychology, really.
Yep. So thinking about trading and how it compares now, your trading routine now compared to what it was like when you were trading, you know, early with shares and with options and things like that. Do you approach it differently?
Much differently. I'm much more disciplined. I'm much calmer. I have a plan. I know exactly what to do. I have a plan for what to do for when things go bad, so that when things do go bad, I'm not distressed. I'm just dealing with them. And my response is second nature to me, so I'm not sat there panicking. I know exactly what I need to do to get myself out of that situation. And of course, ironically, by having that plan, I don't get in that situation anymore. I mean, it's been quite a long time. But if I did, I would know what to do. When I was at university, I was trading blind. I was really, looking back on it, I was lucky that I made money, because I really didn't know what I was doing. It's an interesting thing how we change. I think it's just about being a lot more aware, like you're saying, aware and disciplined.
And also, you have a routine as a mother. You have certain responsibilities and schedules and things like that. And so, how is it that you're able to? Well, speaking from my own experience, I feel like having some sort of schedule or things that highlights of your day, like, you know, I've got to pick up the kids at this time. I've got to, you know, go to the gym here. My friend wants to catch up or go surfing or something like that at this time. You know, having a schedule keeping me away from the charts is probably one of the best things I've been able to do for my trading. And I don't know if that's the same for you, but
I think I trade the 4-hour charts and the daily charts and the weekly charts. It depends on how much time I have. But I agree that the more you sit looking at the computer, the worse trading choices you're probably going to make. Because certainly for myself, I start obsessing. I start staring, like when I'm in a trade, I find if I'm constantly staring at my trades, I get myself out of that trade too soon. And similarly, if I'm in a losing trade, I might not cut my losses as quickly as I should do. It's much healthier to take a break from the computer, to clear your head, get yourself back in balance, and come back and look at the actual time that the candle has closed and make your decision in a calm, considered way, rather than reacting. Again, it all comes down to having a good plan.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And so how does a trader know when his or her plan is not good enough? Like, is there something that you can point to and say, well, now you know that?
Well, I would say, well, obviously the bottom line, whether or not you're trading profitably, but also whether you have confidence in that plan. Do you feel like you've thought about many different scenarios and how you will deal with those different scenarios. Have you tested your plan in many different ways? And does it feel like something that you can have confidence in? Because if it's just a few lines on a piece of paper, it's probably not going to be enough. And it doesn't have to be something you write down. You don't have to have your trading plan written down, but you have to have at least thought about these things and know where to turn to them in your head if you need them, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that in order to have a trading plan, you must be able to write it down in such a way that it can be programmed into a computer and made into an EA or something like that?
My strategy that I gave out free at the first webinar that I did, I've been working very kindly with Mark Fletcher to turn that into an indicator and an EA. And part of that process, I've learned that actually my strategy involves an element is subjective to a certain degree. And so I have to honestly say that I cannot get my strategy completely written down in a way that will work flawlessly, because I use an element of judgment to whether I like that signal, or maybe I'm just not very good at being specific with the criteria for those candles. But I think you need to be able to get the vast chunk of it down for sure. But the fine tuning, personally, I believe in an element of instinct. And now, not all traders are like that. There's a lot of traders who are very much into automation and will consider nothing less. But that's not me. I have a strong creative brain, and I don't always think in straight lines. I'll be honest about that. I don't always know how I get to the answer of math questions, for example. It was one of the biggest things I struggled with at school, was explaining my thinking process. I knew the answer, but I couldn't tell you how I got there. And it's the same with my trading.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, like you say, some people, they want to have it coded out in the EA, the automated system, the robot takes the trades. But what I've found is when you talk to these people, sometimes what they'll say, or often what they'll say, is they had this idea for the system, and then as soon as they coded it up and they looked at the results, it was crap. It didn't work. And I think part of the reason why is because there is something that they're doing when they see those setups on the chart that they're not translating into the code. I think a lot of the automated traders, they're working really hard on this. They're trying to add these sorts of elements, like, well, you know, things that aren't necessarily, they're not necessarily aware of, but they're using that and making their decisions.
Yeah, that's so right. And I think it comes also down to the fact that I've always said, and I got this from you, I think, that you should pick a strategy that fits your personality and the way you trade and your own trading strengths. If a strategy can be programmed to the point where you don't need the person, then that wouldn't apply. That rule about choosing a strategy that fits you wouldn't apply. But it still does. We still need it. We still need to choose a strategy that to a certain degree fits our way of looking at the world. I mean, I said earlier that most strategies will work for you if you trade in a certain healthy way of trading. But at the same time, some will fit with you better. They will fit your worldview better. And that's an element that you cannot quantify. I don't know what that is, that element, but it does make a significant difference to your bottom line. But again, it comes down to knowing yourself. If you're invisible to yourself, you're not going to pick the right strategy either. You're not just going to be making the wrong trading choices. You're going to be picking the wrong strategies.
That's right. Yeah. And it's so interesting to me that people get into arguments over systems and say they'll never work, because it seems so obvious that they're just imposing their beliefs about the markets, and they see everything through their filter, right?
That's so true. And they don't just do that about strategies. They also do that about what's achievable, what kind of returns you can make each week. And well, I've proven that to myself many times, that the only limitations you have on how much you can return each week is your own limitations that you pose in your head, because there are traders out there achieving what other people would consider absolutely impossible, and they're doing it every day. And it's all about the blinkers that you place on your view of life, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this has been really a fascinating chat, Nicola. I'm happy to hear this because I'm excited now. I really want to hear what you have to say at the conference. And obviously, a lot of people that have been following your trades in the forum will be happy to see you in the flesh as well. So I really appreciate your time here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's going to be great fun. I've got a lot of exciting stuff planned for everybody.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Walter.